It looks like all the kids got the cue. Junior church is on. We've been blessed with some very special music this morning. I hope you've enjoyed that. More than just enjoyed, it's not so much entertainment, it's a vehicle by which all of us can worship our Lord. And I even heard a hallelujah while Freddie was playing there. Beautiful. The soul wants to say, praise the Lord. The soul wants to say, Lord, you are wonderful, you are great. And we bless the Lord for those gifts that have been given to individuals who bring them as gifts to the body, and all of us give them to the Lord. In the few remaining minutes, I want to focus on the theme of Christmas joy. We hear a lot about joy at Christmas time, and most of us love to feel or experience joy, but quite frankly, it is a rare commodity. I know a lot of people who are happy. Happiness tends to fluctuate with the circumstances. If you have a good day, you're happy. If you have a bad day, you're not. It's like people at a football game. When you hear people cheer, that's happiness, because those same people would be booing if the other team scored. Okay, happiness depends on circumstances. Joy doesn't. Joy is something that is able to carry you through pain and sorrow and sickness and hardship and loss and poverty and even death. I don't want to talk to you about Christmas happiness. I want to discuss Christmas joy. Do you have joy this morning? Do you have joy that bubbles up inside the soul and wants to explode outward and give you a sense of the glory of God? I believe that's what God wants to give to His children. Not just a temporary happiness, but a deep, abiding, and lasting joy. Would anybody like some of that this morning? Okay. Just this week I had somebody who shared with me, a professing believer. I said, you know, I've heard the story so many times, I know it, I believe it. But deep inside me, something's wrong, I'm dying. I'm depressed. My world's falling apart. What's wrong? I know a lot of people who come to church and we talk about Christmas joy. You may even sing the songs this morning, but inside you know your hearts. And if you need an infusion of joy this morning, genuine, soul-shaking, world-expanding joy, I'd like to share with you how to get that. I'd like to give it to you this morning, but you know what? I can't, because I don't have that to give. But I do know who does, and I'd like you to take you there this morning. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to take a look at two passages from the Christmas story that I believe reveal to us how we also can have this soul-bursting joy. Luke chapter 2. In the worship package this morning, Freddie focused on the shepherds and the wise men. I'd like to also focus on the shepherds, but before we do that, let's take a look at Mary. In chapter 2 of Luke, verse 46, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord." In the King James, it says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Now, when I was a kid, we used to play with magnifying glasses, and I understand that as you get older and need bifocals and then trifocals, you again need magnifying glasses. But we used to use them to fry grasshoppers and to start prairie fires and things like that. And some of you were laughing, you've been there, you've done the same thing. But a magnifying glass basically enables you to see something in a larger form. It expands it. It brings it into sharper focus. It gives you a big view of it. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Well, how do you do that? He already fills the universe. Somehow Mary was saying, something's going on inside my soul that if you take a look at will actually give you a great big picture of God. What's going on there? "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices." It doesn't just joyce, it doesn't just joy, it rejoices over and over and over again. There's something going on. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." Do you sense the joy bubbling up in her soul? Do you want some of it? Good morning. Would you like to know how she got it?
Yes.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm one of those guys who needs feedback, okay? So feed me. I told somebody last week, Those of you in the first service know our brother Tom. He's one of the ameners in our congregation. Now, some of you, that's not your tradition. But Tom, that's his tradition, and he loves to amen. And I told him after the service, I said, Tom, when you say amen, that's like saying sick him to a dog. Anyway, thank you. Yes, you want to hear it. Okay, here we go. If you wonder how Mary got that kind of joy, back up and look at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, if you looked in the mirror this morning and saw an angel standing behind you, you'd probably go, "Whoa." And she said, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Yeah, we'd be upset too, or wondering what. But can I suggest to you that there is a messenger here to tell you about how great news? I'm not an angel, but I'm a mouthpiece. And I would like to proclaim the same message to you. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary's natural question, "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin. I'm going to have a baby. I don't even know a guy. How can I have a baby?" And then he said, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born of you will be called the Son of God." Now, what does that have to do with you and me? I believe that Mary's joy came from the fact that she was bearing the Christ child. She was about to bear him. Now, obviously, physically, she was the only one who ever did that. But can I stretch it a bit this morning and suggest to you and me that all of us can bear the Christ? Not physically. That was Mary's job. But God has designed every single one of us to bear him, to have him inside of us, to live inside of us. And that's, St. Augustine, the great Catholic theologian, said, God shaped us, all of us, with a God-shaped vacuum inside of us. And our hearts are restless until we find our completeness in him. That emptiness that you feel, that you're trying to fill with everything else in this world, it's not going to fill it, folks. You can get all the money in the world. You can have the greatest experiences. You can be the best athlete. You can be the most educated. You can do whatever you want and chase all those things, and they'll satisfy just a little bit, but the vacuum inside of you will never be filled except with Jesus Christ himself. That's how you were designed. And when you have Christ come into you, joy is the natural result. It's the natural overflow. I will never forget in my whole life the night when I finally got to the place in my life where I realized, you know what? I'm not doing it. I'm not making it. I'm not getting what my heart longs for. And as a 16-year-old, I got down by my bed and I said, "Oh God, my life's so messed up, I don't even know if you want me. But if you're willing to take my life as it is, here, you've got it. But take the whole thing. Do something with me." And I'll never forget the next morning in my life. I woke up and I experienced what Mary experienced. My soul magnified the Lord. My spirit was rejoicing in the Lord. There was life inside me. I was alive like I never knew life before. Why? Because Christ had come to live in my heart. Life. Joy. Pure joy, not happiness. The police were still after me. But joy, joy. If you want the joy that the Bible talks about, you have to bear the Christ. Have you been to that place like Mary where you said, "Lord, here I am. Do unto me whatever you want to do." You know, that's a big struggle for a lot of people. We think that God's going to rip us off. Dear friend, can I suggest that this Christmas, if you have the need for the joy of the Lord, not just human happiness, but joy, why don't you come to that place? Do it in private. Get alone somewhere. Amidst, out of the busyness, go lock yourself in your closet if you have to, under your bed, somewhere quiet. And get to the place where you can say, "Lord, here I am. Take the whole thing. If you do that, get ready for joy. The second story involves the shepherds. And if you go to the next chapter, you see what brought them joy. They weren't bearing Christ, they were sharing Christ. In verse 8 of chapter 2, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Again, you know, you encounter God, if you encounter Him just straight on, alone, He'll scare the socks off you. But very quickly, He says, the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of what? What kind of joy? Some joy? Small joy? Big joy? Large joy?" In the Greek, it's the word from which we get our word mega. "I bring you good news of mega joy. Joy that's so big your soul can't even hold it. Joy that is so big that once it comes in you, it's going to bust something. It's going to break out, and it's going to cause something to happen beyond you. That's the kind of joy I'm bringing. I bring you good news of mega joy for who? For all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest.'" Can you hear that choir in your mind's eye? The angels just busting through the heavens and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. From these shepherds, these guys who had no social standing, these guys who, we were reminded earlier, could not even testify in court because they were nobodies in their culture. God says to them, "I'm giving you the news. Go and tell everybody." Do you ever feel like the shepherds in this world? You got this message, you want to talk to people. They poo-poo your idea, they poo-poo your who you are, what you say, dear friend. We're still shepherds. But that can't stop us from telling the news. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said, but Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God. There you have it again. Glorifying God and praising Him for all the things they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. Dear friends, if you want joy in your heart this morning, joy through the Christmas season, joy that will last you beyond that nice Christmas meal, joy that will last you beyond the kids coming home, if you want joy that will rock your soul, joy that will carry you through no matter what comes your way, then I suggest to you the biblical way to find it is to bear Christ and to share Christ. That, dear friends, brings joy, and it keeps it going through all your life.